Because sometimes us men, we feel like we can make it by ourselves. Sooner or later, there'll come enough tribulation. We'll shell down the corn. And some of the greatest men like George Washington in the time of the Revolution was found on their knees begging God for direction. And some of the greatest men like Abraham Lincoln in the Civil War, with the weight of this great country on his shoulders and 600,000 young men who die on his knees, Abraham Lincoln sought refuge and found faith in the living God. The greatest of men became greater because they enlisted the aid of the living God. Amen. Come down from your golden throne to me, lowly me. I need to feel the touch of your tender hand. Release the chains of darkness so I can see. Lord, let me see just how I fit into your master plan. Help me see it now. Lord, and I thought I could make it by myself. I know I just can't make it anymore. With a humble heart on bended knees, I'm begging you, please help me. Ask the Lord to have His way in the remainder of this service this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Reading 2 Timothy this morning. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I don't know, we might make reference to Matthew chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 12. Amen. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. That's the living and the dead. Amen. Two classes God's going to judge. Living and the dead. That gets everybody, don't it? Nobody's left out. Praise God. Everybody's going to be judged. And before you know it, before you're hardly ready for it, we are going to judgment. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two of them there. Incidentally, it's one of those 101 scriptures where you got two persons of the Trinity right there together. Amen. Just can't get around it. Praise God. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom? Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. Back to verse 2. Be instant in season and out of season. Amen. No sad excuses. Amen. In season and in out of season. S-A-D, sad excuses. That's what I'm going to talk about for a little while this morning. Amen. He said, be instant in season and out of season. That means when you feel like it and when you don't. That means when you're disposed, disposed means you have a tendency to do something, a willingness to do something, or indisposed. In fact, some paraphrasals read whether you're disposed or indisposed. Indisposed means no tendency to do something. Amen. Unwilling. Or, it also has another meaning, slightly ill. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching this morning on sad excuses. S-A-D. Amen. Back last winter, I kept an appointment to the doctor, Dr. Chandler, and he got out some paper that he had copied out to this S-A-D syndrome deal. Amen. I never had heard of it, but he talked to me about seasonal affective disorder. I just let him talk, but I told him in so many words. In fact, he forgot about talking to me once, and he started talking to me about it again the next time I was there. Amen. And I wanted to tell him I don't have seasonal affective disorder. Amen. I mean, I am a well-rounded person. You can tell by looking at me. Amen. But I don't have any problem with, I like all seasons. Amen. But he told me what you had to do in order to get over the sad effect. S-A-D. Seasonal affective disorder. The long dark winters, he said, and with the absence of the sunlight, it affects this gland in the back of our eyes that something is triggered. When the light touches our retinae, it triggers a gland that produces certain other secretions that affect our moods. Amen. Therefore, we're thrown sometimes in the long winter time into depression of sorts. And it's very serious with some folks. Some folks are worse than others. And so we don't want to downplay it too much, with too much of a sense of humor, because a lot of folks have glandular deficiencies that already are operating in reverse, so to speak, and they're already in one stage or other of depression. It don't take much to trigger SAD with them. Amen. And so, seasonal affective disorder is a very sad thing to some folks. My dad didn't like the winter time. He didn't like the snow. Amen. His thyroid wasn't working, and he wouldn't take the medicine regularly. He'd get to feeling good, and he'd think he didn't need it, and so he would skimp on his medicine. And after his death, I found a half a dozen bottles of thyroid medicine he hadn't taken. He was skimping on his thyroid medicine, and that triggers other glands, and that throws you into depression. And so an SAD, a very real thing. The snow hadn't melted in front of the house. January the 19th, 5 years ago, my little old daddy walked to the end of the driveway with his old deer rifle, cocked it, and leaned over on the barrel and reached down with his thumb and pulled the trigger with the gun against his neck. The bullet exited in his back, and he fell there at the end of the driveway, and Leroy Ivy, our neighbor, found my daddy. They called me down at Ryan's Steakhouse, interrupted our dinner and fellowship with some of the people of God, amen, to tell us that they'd found my dad dead. We hurried home and got ready and headed for Arkansas to see what in the world was wrong. Amen. Some people have SAD syndrome in an acute manner. And so I don't want to downplay it too much. Amen. Because it is very real for some people in the long, dark winters. With the absence of the sun, depression sets in.
Amen. And so the article that the doctor had copied for me, amen, and his own advice was, even though I didn't have any problem, I didn't realize any need, I didn't realize any depression at all, amen, he said, we need to turn on more lights in the house. And I'd like to say, praise God, would somebody turn on the light? Amen. There's too many sad excuses for not serving God. Praise God. And you know what? That's what revival is. Amen. In the last 14 services up to last Wednesday night, praise God, we turned on a whole bunch of lights. 14 services. Amen. We turned on the light. We built a fire. Hallelujah. Amen. And young people got saved and people got in. And the flame of hope and encouragement in the lives of people, preacher included. Amen. We turned on the light. But did you know that some folks adrift in their darkness and in their sad syndrome missed it? They missed the revival. They didn't know. Amen. We had the light turned on at the highway of holiness. And they went on. And they come crippling in. Still in their seasonal affective disorder. Hey, we need light. And we turned it on. Amen. Jesus said they turned it on in Bible times. Amen. The 11th chapter of Matthew tells us, praise God, John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking. Amen. And they said he's a glutton, or he hath a devil. Amen. Matthew 11 and 18. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said he had a devil. God turned on the light with John. Amen. To take a nation out of a long, hard winter of 400 years without the light of a prophet. And John turned on the light. Praise God. But did you know that even though all the regions round about came to hear John, many came out of idle curiosity and they squinched their eyes. And when John preached, they said, that light's so strong, it hurts our eyes. We can't stand that light. Amen. Turn that light out, somebody. And you know that's exactly what they did. They turned out the light. Amen. Men have been trapped in coal mines for days and weeks and sometimes, amen, a month or two before they ever able to get them out. Amen. And in that darkness, amen, they'll drink about anything to quench their thirst. The dark drippings from the roof of the coal mine. Amen. They'll save them and savor them. Amen. And in those times, men have been known to shred their leather shoes into small shreds and eat them. Amen. That's coal miner spaghetti, they call it. When they cut up their boots and eat their boots, they're so hungry. Amen. I remember reading about how that when they finally rescued some of them, they had to put blindfolds over them when they brought them out into the light because their eyes had become accustomed to darkness and couldn't stand the light. It's a sad, sad day when in our very churches, that men can't stand the light. Amen. A brother from Spencer's church in California, hey, Riverdale, California, quoted verbatim much of Jonathan Edwards' sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. That brother, amen, quoted almost all of it and then couldn't remember the very last part of it. Amen. He kept trying, but he couldn't remember. And finally had to give the altar call. But he blessed our souls with the Jonathan Edwards message on sinners in the hand of an angry God. I thought, what a message. Now, this to the Methodist Church in Barberville, Kentucky, a few years ago. Amen. A reflection on the Methodists. Amen. That's where we came from. Amen. I mean, the first wholeness people of this Pentecostal revolution were former Methodists. Amen. They were still Methodists, in fact. Amen. Charles Fox Parham was a Methodist. Amen. And he's the one that started a Bible school in Stone Folly. So let's not kick our heritage too much. Praise God. We owe a lot to them. They advanced wholeness up to the point that it came until we got the fullness of the revelation of God for the last days, the outpouring of the Spirit. Amen. But he quoted that great message. Amen. I went to the Methodist Church in Barberville, Kentucky. Amen. And they asked me to pray. Amen. And I prayed for days like, Jonathan Edwards. And the Methodist evangelist got up, amen, and made a little bit of a dig about my prayer when he got up to preach. He said, if I got up and preached Jonathan Edwards' message, sinners in the hands of an angry God in this congregation verbatim, this whole congregation would turn red in the face in embarrassment. In other words, what I enjoyed the other night, and it blessed my soul the other night, he said, amen, we would cringe in embarrassment. I'm glad there's still some folks that appreciate the light. Hallelujah. The Eskimos up in Alaska, northern Alaska, they celebrate the return of the sun. Amen. Man, they've been without the sun so long. Amen. They've been in the dark so long. When the sun finally comes above the horizon, they have a celebration. They throw a big party. They have a big feast. Amen. And they dance for joy because the sun has come back. Oh, hallelujah. The sun has arisen, folks, with healing in his wing. But Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Amen. This is what he said. John came neither eating nor drinking. They said, he hath a devil. Turn that light out. The devil's turned that light on. Amen. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. In other words, the children of the light will like a light. The children of the light will bear witness of the light. The children of the darkness will like a light. Would somebody turn on a light? Hallelujah. That's why we go to church. We're turning on the light. That's why we go to church all the time. We love the light. Amen. Amen. But we come up with sad excuses. Amen. Well, that's Matthew chapter 11. Amen. Listen to this. Amen. He spoke in chapter 12 of how that the Queen of Sheba, amen, came from far. An evil, adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign given it, verse 39, chapter 12, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. Behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Jonas turned on the light. And you know what? The people of Jonah didn't say, quench that light. Put that light out. The king said, hey, he's not asking us to do much. Since we're going to be destroyed in 40 days, it's worth taking a chance on God. Everybody fast. Men, women, boys, girls, children, hogs, dogs, cows. Amen. Everything fast. Praise God. You know what? The Bible said the men of Nineveh believed God. And they'll arise and say, amen, you should have repented because a greater than Jonas is here. What light we have. The queen of the south shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost part of the earth. How far did you go to church this morning? Amen. She came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. I mean, brother, she had to get up early and travel late at night. Amen. And brave the dangers of the desert to get to Solomon. Behold, he said, a greater than Solomon is here. Amen. Amen. And then he said something that's surprising about his generation. He said, when the unclean spirit is going out of a man, he goes up and down through dry places. Amen. And you know, the devil likes dark, dry places. He likes dark, dry churches. Amen. He likes them so dark that the preacher can preach for an hour and never say anything. Never rebuke sin and never demand repentance of his congregation. Amen. The devil likes that. He looks for dry places. Amen. Well, he said, I'll turn to my house whence it came out. When he's come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Amen. Finding it hard to worship this morning? Find it hard to get your hands more than half masked? Can it be that you've gone dry spiritually? Amen. That you need your radiator filled and your battery charged and your tank filled, praise God, and ready to go for God, and then you can get them a little more than half mast. Praise God. You having trouble praising God? Praise God. Hey, the devil likes dry places. He likes dry churches. He likes dry preaching. He likes dry Sunday school class, dry Sunday school teachers. Amen. And dry deacons and dry testees. And amen. Dry singers. He likes everything dry. Amen. And he goeth and taketh with himself seven other spirits. How in the world can he get seven other devils in there? Amen. Because ain't nothing to scare them enough to keep them from getting in there. Amen. Amen. Nobody's going to turn on the light. Amen. Nobody's going to turn on the searchlight. Hallelujah. Would somebody turn on the light? Praise God. Because he's going and he's taking with him seven other spirits. Where you going, devil? Going over here where it's dark. Where nobody can see me. Amen. Where it's dry. You see, I'm scared of the heavenly rain. I'm scared God wiped me out twice with a flood. Amen. He wiped out my kingdom the first time in the world with a flood. Amen. He wiped out my kingdom a second time in Noah's day with a flood. He said, I've been flooded out. Amen. Twice, and every time it thunders, I get nervous. I'm going where it's dry. Amen. He likes dry churches. Praise God. He likes dry preachers. He likes preachers. They don't have any fire. Praise God. Seven more devils come in, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. He didn't stop there. Even so it be also unto this wicked generation. Would somebody turn on the light? Amen. We're in a sad depression, praise God. I mean, we're giving sad excuses for not serving God. Amen. I mean, in the winter, it's too cold. And in the summer, it's too hot. Huh? Amen. Yeah. In the summer, it's too hot. And the winter, it's too cold. And in the spring, when school's out, you know, we got to catch up. That world is beckoning us. Amen. All those fun places are beckoning to us. We got to catch up. Hey, just before you take your journey into the darkness, remember where you came from. That's where you was at when the Lord rescued you. And there's nothing out there for a soul that wants no God. What in the world can a bunch of people roaming in darkness, amen, and getting up a shindig down in Opryland do to entertain a bunch of Holy Ghost filled, sanctified children of God with their sordid jokes and their sordid songs, amen, and their wicked entertainment, bless God, amen, we better go to church, we better go to camp meeting, we better go where somebody turning on the light. Amen. Amen. In the fall. Amen. Well, we just got one more round before school starts, you know. Amen. We just got to have that one more trip, that one more vacation. And after all, amen, it's time to fish in the springtime, and it's time to hunt in the fall. And don't you know I've got important things to do? Amen. We got sad excuses for not serving God. Amen. Well, I've done my share of hunting. I've done my share of fishing. Amen. But I never let it stand between me and going to church. I never missed a service to go to hunt and fish. Amen. Praise God. If I did, I'd quit. Hunting and fishing got in the way, amen, of going to church. I'd quit hunting and fishing and go to church. Praise God. If anything, work or anything else, money or anything else, gets in the way of going to church, I'll quit and go to church. Amen. But it's either vacation or it's school. Amen. Or it's got to go. Got to go. Oh, just can't hardly wait. Just can't hardly wait to get there. Just hauling the fist to get there. I'm bored to death anyway. Why? Darkness. Darkness brings about boredom. Praise God. Whoo, glory to God. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, you don't have to leave God in the corner, amen, to have fun. You'll have more fun if you put God first. You'll have more fun if you seek first the kingdom of God. You'll have more fun and more wholesome fun right in the house of God, praise God, than you will anywhere else. Amen. Glory to God. Escape from responsibility is really what men are doing today. Really, they're running from God. And all these sad excuses. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Indisposed means a tendency or no tendency to do something. Unwilling or slightly ill. Amen. It don't take much of an affliction for us to stay home if we're suffering from that sad excuse syndrome. Amen. That seasonal affective disorder. Amen. Well, don't you know, Brother Collins, amen, that little Sally had a cold, amen, and the whole family had to stay home to help wipe her nose. Amen. Well, what you need to do is get little Sally up and wash her face and take her to church. She'll feel better in church than anywhere else. Praise God. Amen. Woo, glory to God. You know, I've always went to church with or without the flu, with or without a bad cold, with or without the croup. Amen. You know, I've never had any trouble with my voice. Even when I had a cold and sung just a little bit hoarsely. Amen. I told folks us hillbillies sang better with a cold. You may like this voice better. Amen. You may want me to keep it for all I know. So I had a standing statement, you know, as hillbillies sound better with a cold than we do without one. You know, you heard about the country singer had to quit because his adenoids healed up. Amen. Sometimes we do better if we've got a little bit of affliction in our nose. Amen. And so I had a standing statement. Some of us hillbillies sound better with a cold. I was holding a revival for Brother Harry Greaves in St. Louis. Amen. You know how folks get up and cough and hack a little bit and blow their nose and say, y'all pray for me. Don't know whether I'm saying or not. Amen. You'll have to pray for me. Amen. And I get tired of hearing that, so I got a standing statement, you know, when folks says that. And I was sitting this close behind the guy when he got up to sing, and he He sniffed a little bit and said, I got a bad cold. Y'all need to pray for me before I can sing. And I was right behind him and I said, us hillbillies sound better with a cold than we do without one. He said, yeah, but I ain't a hillbilly. Amen. He took it. Amen. He took offense at my statement. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I'll tell you something. Us city billies look a whole lot better if we'll bow up like a circle saw. Amen. Spit in the devil's face like a tomcat. Amen. And tell the devil, you're not going to play that trick on me no more. You're not going to keep me out of church no more. If you got a house full of unsaved kids, unsaved loved ones, amen, if something don't have to keep you out of church, they will. Don't you let a bunch of heathen keep you out of the house of God. You set an example before them, praise God, of faithfulness to God. Amen. Hey, bye-bye. Stay here, make yourself at home. I'll be home right after church to cook dinner for you. Amen. Don't stay home and cook dinner for them. They'll stay heathens forever if you don't set the example. Amen. Uncle Will Earl's married the second time after his wife been dead for a long time. And I hauled Brother and Sister Earls to church. But on Sunday, she wouldn't go. She said, I always cook dinner for my family on Sunday. Amen. That didn't last too long, Roger. And to bless her heart, my dear old neighbor up the street, that pain hit her in the back of the head. That blood vein burst. It wasn't too long until Sister Earls was dead. I start out reading to you how God's going to judge the quick and the dead. Before you're ready for it, you're going to judgment. Before you're ready for it, the grave is going to claim you. Before you're ready for it. Amen. And in case you're like my daddy, the winter was too long. The SAD, disposition and depression and syndrome had taken over. Dad would take his own life. He wouldn't see the flowers bloom in just a month. He wouldn't see the daylilies bloom again that I planted down by the rock row for Mama. He wouldn't see the dogwoods bloom across the hill. He wouldn't see the redbirds burst out. Amen. Because he gave up on himself. And he gave up on the light. Amen. And he went out into eternity prematurely to meet God. One way or the other, we're going to judgment. Whether we're ready or whether we're not, we're going to judgment. And we'll all wish we'd have done better. I'll tell you, you get to where you need to be in God, you can't keep you from being faithful to God. Billy Graham said they bought that acreage in North Carolina, South Carolina, amen, and moved on to it in order to mow the grass. They got them 3 sheep, and the sheep were supposed to keep the grass mowed. And all of a sudden, there appeared a great big red billy goat among his sheep, and they didn't like him, but he just stayed on anyway. And so Billy Graham said they got him in the jeep and took him over the mountain 2 hours. They said, we'll abandon him with these mountain folks and let them take care of him. Amen. And they said they got in the jeep and got back home 2 hours later, and the old red goat was already there. He had beat him home. Amen. You'll be so stubborn about going to the house of God and your home church that nothing will hinder you. You'll be like that old dog that my dad throwed rocks at and used his Arkansas vernacular on him. Amen. That old gawky dog that appeared suddenly in his yard that belonged, I guess, to the neighbors. Amen. That he tried to run off and rocked him and everything else and couldn't. And one day after about a year, I came driving up in the yard in a big husky German police dog. Amen. Met me. I didn't know whether to get out or stay in. Amen. It was that same old gawky dog that had took up at Dad's house. Praise God. Woo-hoo-hoo. Glory to God. Amen. He was my dad's dog whether he wanted him or not. By this time, praise God, my dad had grown used to him and liked him. Amen. And took him in. He decided he was going to stay because he couldn't run him off. Hey, some folks, brother, amen, it's easy offended, amen, that any little old thing, they'll accuse a preacher of running them off, of running their children off. That's what the brother in Kansas City said. I'll never be back to this church anymore. You run my daughter and my family off. Amen. They didn't like it because we lived and believed and presented holiness to them. Amen. Because we did. We run him off. Amen. I'll tell you, you get good and entrenched in God, you can't run you off. Praise God. My dad couldn't run that old dog off. Amen. Said, you may not like me, but I'm your dog. Amen. And I'm staying. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that big German police dog met me, stayed there till he died. Amen. And wouldn't leave. Praise God. Brother Routon said, if you get enough of God, the pastor can do without your address and phone number even. Amen. You'll not get offended. You'll still be faithful to God. Would somebody turn on the light? Let's stand and let's pray this morning. Father, we pray, Lord God, that people will rise to the call, that they'll rise to action, that they'll arise to responsibility, they'll arise to claim the day and redeem the time. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 As they sing, we invite you to God's altar, to a greater commitment, a renewal of your vows. Amen. A prayer of repentance for our neglect of our souls and the things of God. Amen. Say, Lord, make me what you want me to be. Make me, Lord, what you'd like for me to be. Amen. I'm not going to raise my family. I'm not going to come up, Lord, like a heathen. I'm going to serve God. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. God said, I know Abraham. He will command his house and his children after him. Abraham. He's going to serve the Lord.
I want us to be together in heaven. I want us to be together in heaven. I want to walk down the streets of pure gold. I want to run through the fields of green clover, see the mansions, smell the flowers, hear the singing, it's all ours. See the rivers gently flowing, feel the gentle breezes blowing. I want us to be together in heaven.